Unlikely Leaders, Chapter 12, From Saul to Paul, Persecutor to Disciple. This chapter is based on Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 18. Saul of Tarsus, a Roman citizen by birth, was a Jew by heritage and had been educated by the finest rabbis. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He inspired high hopes that he would be an able and zealous defender of the ancient faith. His elevation to the Sanhedrin council placed him in a position of power. Saul had taken part in condemning Stephen, and the striking evidence of God's presence with the martyr had led him to doubt the cause he had taken up against the followers of Jesus. But the arguments of the priests finally convinced him that Stephen was a blasphemer, that Christ was a fraud, and that the religious leaders must be right. Saul's education and prejudice, his respect for his teachers, and his pride braced him to rebel against the voice of conscience, and having decided that the priests and scribes were right, he became a bitter opponent of the disciples of Jesus. His activity in causing holy men and women to be condemned to imprisonment and even to death brought gloom to the newly organized church and caused many to seek safety by fleeing. Those who were driven from Jerusalem went everywhere preaching the word, Acts chapter 8, verse 4. In Damascus, the new faith gained many converts. The priests and rulers had hoped that by stern persecution they could suppress the heresy. Now they must carry forward in other places the firm measures they had taken in Jerusalem against the new teaching. Saul offered his services for the special work at Damascus. Breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So, with authority and commission from the chief priests, Acts chapter 26, verse 12, Saul of Tarsus, in the vigor of manhood and burning with mistaken zeal, set out on that memorable journey. A light too glorious for mortal eyes to bear. As the weary travelers neared Damascus, at midday they came within view of fertile lands, beautiful gardens, and fruitful orchards, watered by cool streams from the mountains. While Saul gazed with admiration on the attractive city below, suddenly, as he said later, there shone around me and those who journeyed with me a light from heaven, brighter than the sun. Blinded, Saul fell on his face to the ground. He heard a voice speaking in the Hebrew language. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Acts chapter 22, verse 6, chapter 26, verses 13 to 15. Almost blinded by the light, Saul's companions heard a voice but saw no one. But Saul understood the words spoken, and in the glorious being who stood before him he saw the crucified one. The image of the Savior's face was imprinted forever on the heart of the stricken Jew. A flood of light poured into the darkened chambers of his mind, revealing the error of his former life and his need of the Holy Spirit. Saul now saw that he had been doing the work of Satan. He had believed the priests and rulers when they told him that the story of the resurrection was a clever lie by the disciples. Now that Jesus himself stood revealed, he was convinced of the disciples' claims. In that hour the prophetic records were opened to Saul's understanding. He saw that the prophets had foretold the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, and these proved that he was the Messiah. God brought Stephen's sermon forcibly to his mind, and he realized that the martyr really had seen the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. Saul under conviction. In that moment of divine revelation, Saul remembered with terror that he had consented to Stephen's sacrifice and that many other followers of Jesus had met death through his efforts. There were no valid arguments against Stephen's clear reasoning. The scholarly Jew had seen the face of the martyr as if it had been the face of an angel, Acts chapter 6, verse 15. He had seen Stephen forgive his enemies. He also had witnessed the strength and cheerful acceptance of their fate of many whom he had caused to be tormented. He had seen some even yield up their lives with rejoicing for their faith. All these things had sometimes forced on Saul's mind an almost overwhelming conviction that Jesus was the promised Messiah. At such times he had struggled for entire nights against this conviction. Now Christ had spoken with his own voice, saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And the question, "Who are you, Lord?" was answered by the same voice, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Christ here identifies himself with his people. In persecuting the followers of Jesus, Saul had struck directly against the Lord of heaven. Trembling and astonished, he inquired, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." When Saul arose from the ground, he found himself totally without sight. He believed that this blindness was a punishment from God. In terrible darkness he groped around, and in fear his companions led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. On the morning of that day, Saul had approached Damascus with feelings of self-satisfaction because of the confidence the chief priest had placed in him. He was to stop the spread of the new faith in Damascus and had looked forward eagerly to the experiences before him. But how different was his entrance into the city from what he had expected? Blind, tortured by remorse, not knowing what judgment might be in store for him, he sought out the home of the disciple Judas, where left alone he had much opportunity to reflect and pray. For 3 days Saul was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Again and again with anguish he recalled his guilt in allowing himself to be controlled by the hatred of the priests and rulers, even when the face of Stephen had been lighted up with the radiance of heaven. He reviewed the many times he had closed his eyes against evidence and had urged the persecution of believers in Jesus. In lonely seclusion, Saul spent these days of self-examination and humiliation in lonely seclusion. The believers feared that he might be putting on an act in order to deceive them, and they refused him sympathy. He had no desire to appeal to the unconverted Jews, for he knew they would not even listen to his story. So his only hope of help was in a merciful God, and to him he appealed with a broken heart. Shut in with God alone, Saul recalled many passages of Scripture referring to the first advent of Christ. As he reflected on the meaning of these prophecies, he was astonished at his former blindness and the blindness of the Jews in general. Prejudice and unbelief had prevented him from recognizing Jesus as the Messiah of prophecy. As Saul yielded to the Holy Spirit, he saw the mistakes of his life and recognized the far-reaching claims of the law of God. He had been a proud Pharisee, confident that he was justified by his good works, but now he bowed before God with humility, confessing his unworthiness and pleading the merits of a crucified Savior. Saul longed to come into full harmony with the Father and the Son, and in intensity he offered fervent prayers to the throne of grace. His prayers were not in vain. The inmost thoughts of his heart were transformed, and his mind came into harmony with God's purposes. Christ and his righteousness became more to Saul than the whole world. He had believed that Jesus had disregarded the law of God and taught his disciples that it was of no effect, but after conversion, Saul recognized Jesus as the one who had come into the world for the purpose of upholding his Father's law. He was convinced that Jesus was the originator of the Jewish system of sacrifices, and that symbol had met fulfillment at the crucifixion. Saul was the one whom Christ chose for a most important work, yet the Lord did not immediately tell him of the work he was assigned. When Saul asked, "What do you want me to do?" the Savior placed him in connection with his church to learn God's will for him. Christ had performed the work of revelation and conviction. Now the repentant Saul was to learn from those whom God had designated to teach his truth. While Saul continued alone in prayer, the Lord appeared in vision to a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Arise and go into the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, so that he might receive his sight. Ananias could scarcely believe the words of the angel. Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the command was firm. Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Obediently, Ananias sought out the man who had breathed out threats against all who believed in Jesus. Putting his hands on the head of the repentant sufferer, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Thus Jesus placed Saul in connection with his appointed agencies on earth. The work of directing the repentant sinner in the way of life belonged to the organized church. Many have an idea that they are responsible to Christ alone, independent of his recognized followers on earth. Jesus is the friend of sinners and has all power, but he respects the means he has chosen for our salvation. He directs sinners to the church, which he has made a channel of light to the world. When Saul was given a revelation of Christ, he was placed in direct communication with the church. In this case, Ananias represented Christ and also Christ's ministers, who are appointed to act in his place. In Christ's place, Ananias touched the eyes of Saul. Representing Christ, he placed his hands on him, and as he prayed in Christ's name, Saul received the Holy Spirit. Ananias did all this in the name of Christ and by Christ's authority. Christ is the fountain. The church is the channel of communication.